Robert Wolgemuth takes seriously the responsibility to shepherd his wife's heart. And his wife, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, says this is one way that he shepherds her well.
He keeps pursuing me. He notices. He hears what I say. He cares about it. He asks me about it. So I said to Robert, I think women would be amazingly more responsive than many are if their husbands would keep pursuing their hearts.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. How can a husband succeed in being the husband God has called him to be? We'll explore that idea today with our guests, Robert and Nancy Wolgemuth. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You know, it occurs to me that you can have a talented basketball player who's got all of the skills necessary to play the game right. But if he doesn't have a coach and a game plan, the talent isn't sufficient to get the job done. And I'm thinking about that not so much in relation to basketball, but I'm thinking of it in relation to marriage. And guys who say, I want to be a good husband, they may have the skill, the talent to do it, but they may need a little coaching and maybe have a game plan for what it is they're supposed to be doing.
I think you're putting your finger on one of the top reasons why marriages are failing today. And it's why we created the Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway, to give people the blueprints, to train them in how to resolve conflict, how to communicate, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, and to realize they've got an overall mission together as a couple.
Well, and this week and next week, our listeners have a special opportunity to sign up for an upcoming Weekend to Remember Getaway and save 50% off the regular registration fee as a couple. Go to our website, familylifetoday.com. All the information is available there. This is just a great time to sign up for any of the 55-plus events that are going to be taking place throughout the spring in cities all across the country. But you need to sign up either this week or next week if you want to take advantage of the half-price opportunity you have to register for an upcoming Weekend to Remember. The website's familylifetoday.com. If you have any questions, call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Come out and join us at a Weekend to Remember, and we'll see if we can't help both of you get on the same page and get moving in the same direction in your marriage.
And, you know, to answer that question today, Bob, about how you can get a game plan, we've got a ton of folks in the studio. I mean, we've got Robert and Nancy Wolgemuth in the studio with us. Robert, Nancy, welcome back.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you,
they're veterans. I don't know how many times you guys have been on, but you keep coming back.
It's like a bad penny. Keeps showing up.
Also, Ron Deal joins us again. Ron, welcome back.
Thank you. It's always good to be here.
In case our listeners don't know, Robert is, he is my agent, book agent.
That's right.
And heads up an agency for more than 100 authors. Is that right?
More than 200.
And I thought you were going to say 100 years.
I shouldn't have said that.
I thought you were going to say 100 years.
I should have said we have two clients, you and Barbara. That's what I should have said.
You should have said that.
I missed an opportunity.
You have your bio needs to be updated just a little bit. But it does have the fact that you're married to Nancy.
Good.
Since 2015.
Right.
And because of Robert's unique background of having been married to Bobby for 44 years.
44 and a half years.
Nancy married into and create a blended family.
In fact, Robert, you and I were having a conversation in the early days of, do we call it your courtship
sure.
with Nancy?
Let's do that.
You and Nancy had been communicating about the possibility of a relationship developing for maybe a month and a half when you and I were chatting. And I said, if this is going somewhere, you ought to get some time with Ron Deal, because you're forming a blended family, and Ron's the guy who can help you navigate those waters.
If you Googled spectacular advice, that's what would show up.
Ron right Deal's there. Picture.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nancy, you would never have thought that due to your dad passing away way too young, he was a great man. Heaven had a great game, but the earth had a great loss when your dad passed away, that Bob Lapine would become a surrogate father. Forcing Robert.
It wasn't just me. You were in on this too, buddy.
It was kind of a family event here in Family Life. But you introduced him to Ron Deal, and Ron spent some time.
Some time.
How much time, Robert?
6 weeks, night and day.
And we just skimmed the surface.
This couple needed a lot of help.
I want to know, what would you consider in the time you did spend together? I'd like both of you to answer this. What was the biggest takeaway or the aha that you thought, you know, I hadn't really thought about that, but we're going to have to know about that.
Okay, you got to stop, because I feel like my job's on the line right now.
It is.
So say something good, all right?
That's really easy. It's a moment none of us will ever forget. It was the end of 12 hours over 2 days. And there are a lot of questions Nancy has, legitimate questions. What's this going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, because you know her so well, she felt called to be in ministry as a single woman. She loved marriage. She was a great champion of marriage, counseled women who are married, had kids, but never saw that for herself. And so that was hard work, right? And so at the end of our time, near the end, Ron looked at Nancy and he said, okay, you've described that. You were called to that. I have a question for you. Are you called to this man? And it was a moment we will never forget. She took a while to answer, and then she said, yes, I am. And I don't want to display this image and take something away from it, but in moments we were on our knees in a hotel room at a little coffee table and pouring our hearts out to the Lord and asking him to bless this calling. And I mean, that's an easy answer for me in terms of what was really the highlight of that time.
What about you, Nancy?
Well, and just for a frame of reference, we weren't yet engaged. We were getting ready to get engaged, but we were still really wanting to make sure that this is what the Lord had for us. And I think Ron, and under the leadership of the Lord and his word, helped us to think through, here are some of the things, given your different backgrounds, your different families of origin, and your current family situations. These are things that you're going to have to deal with. You need to think through prayerfully, carefully, not just how does this affect you, but how will it affect Robert's family, my ministry family that I had been so much a part of for so many years. And then how can, if you do go ahead and get married, how can you walk humbly with each other and before others as you process what will be challenges in this marriage? And so just this call to live in humility, to be patient, to assume the best of others. This was counsel we needed then, and we needed it later as well.
Yeah. And I want to ask you, Ron, what do you think was the best advice you gave them?
All of it.
Good answer.
In all humility.
There was a hymn when you guys were courting.
Right.
That was kind of the hymn that defined your courtship.
It became our song.
Yes.
You know, couples have our song.
And your song was?
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. That was it.
Now, were you meditating on what ultimately became a book called Like the Shepherd?
I can't say that I was. But as our courtship developed and as we got engaged and then married, that image of shepherd found its way into our texts late at night. And so early in our marriage, I said, I think it'd be fun to write that book.
Well, I have to share with you that in one of our very earliest conversations, Robert was talking about his wife, Bobby. He'd been married for all those years. And he said, one of the things I loved about being married was that I loved shepherding a wife. I had never heard a man describe his calling as a husband that way. I mean, I knew it was true, but I'm thinking he didn't talk about loving what she did for him or what she meant to him or how he felt because he was married to her. He said, I loved shepherding a wife. And I didn't tell him at that moment, but my heart skipped a beat. And I thought, wow, that's a really amazing perspective. And to think that a man had that kind of heart about marriage started to bring down my, when I say I had walls, I wasn't opposed to marriage, but I just didn't think this is what God had for me. And that became a softening of my heart toward him.
And we haven't mentioned what terminated that marriage of 44 years, but it was cancer. And you became his wife, obviously, after that courtship, and Bob, you know, bringing you two together and blessing your relationship. Here's my question for you, Nancy. You've been married since 2015. Now, that's not a long time yet. But what would be the best advice you could give a man right now in being the shepherd of his wife?
Well, I am no expert on this subject now and probably never will be. But I would just say from my heart that one of the things in our marriage that has been so precious, and I've said to Robert, if other men would do more of this, they can't imagine how much it would mean to their wives. And that is that he keeps pursuing my heart. In fact, at one point when we were dating, he was extremely romantic, and I had spent my life being careful about married men. He wasn't married at this point, but I was just, I had some walls up, you know.
You'd had boundaries in place for a long time.
Yeah. Hold on. What do you mean tangibly? He was being very romantic.
He was tender-hearted. He was sweet.
Is this therapy or is this radio? Come on.
This is real family life.
He was pursuing my heart. And I looked at him at one point and I said, you know, I know some men are really romantic before they get married, but then after they get married, they've conquered and they move on. I said, are you going to be this way after we get married? And he said, talk to my daughters. They've watched their mother and me over these years. And he was so right. Robert is the romantic, but it's not just the romance. It's in countless ways every day. He is pursuing my heart. He's being intentional about listening, about asking questions, about conversation. We don't rush through dinner. Now, I know some families have to, but we're in a season of life where we can just stop after dinner and talk about our day. He's asking me to unpack. What do you think about this? How did that make you feel? He's a much better conversationalist than I am. So he keeps pursuing me. He notices. He hears what I say. He cares about it. He asks me about it. So I said to Robert, I think women would be amazingly more responsive than many are if their husbands would keep pursuing their hearts, not in aggressive or controlling ways, but just in gentle and tender ways. That's shepherding.
And here's a word picture that could be problematic, let's say, for some women. The first story that Jesus told in Luke 15 was the wandering sheep. And so not only does the image of a sheep sometimes become problematic for a woman to say, oh, I see, so you're the shepherd and I'm this dirty sheep. Mm-hmm. But the sheep wandered off and the shepherd lovingly pursued that sheep. And so in my experience with Nancy, I discovered early on, she's a person with lots of responsibility in ministry. And so we'll have this dinner time, and we'll be sitting there enjoying dinner, and I'm looking at her face, and she has wandered off. I want you to hear me. She's thinking about this conference coming up. She's thinking about this book deadline. She's thinking about another recording session, and she's not there. She's not there with me, so she's wandered off. So what do I do to bring her back? Or what do I do to capture her? And it's patience. And it's warming, it's wooing her. It's not forgetting to woo her. I tell a story in the book. This is a book for men, so sometimes a woman will read this and go, wait a minute, are you calling me a sheep? Are you calling me a 150-pound marlin? But the image is, the guy's going fishing. When he's out there, he realizes he's only got 15-pound test line, and he's going for 150-pound fish. So he's going to have to get that fish on the ship without breaking a line. And that's called wooing. That's called romancing. That's understanding that she has to want to respond to you. You can't force it.
I'm thinking, as you're talking about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Dennis has said for years that a husband's assignment is to become a student of his wife and to know her better than any human being knows her. You're talking about this being a diligent pursuit for a man, right?
That's right. It's Deuteronomy 24. I don't have to become an expert on all women. I have to become an expert on one woman. And the admonition there was to take a year off of work and get good at this. Don't be overwhelmed by all women. Just study this one woman and become an expert at her.
As you were talking, I was thinking to that point about being the expert of one woman. If we're going to learn how to be a shepherd, we ought to study the greatest shepherd
Amen.
Who's ever existed. And he's described in the most, well, probably one of the most familiar passages in the Bible, Psalm 23. And I'll not read it all, but just think about this, especially the guys who are married. Think about this in light of your wife. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then it goes on to talk about how he guides us through the valley of the shadow of death. So he shepherds us when we go through trials.
Yeah.
And life's full of trials. But the concept of the Lord being our shepherd, he has pursued us. It's his love who turned our lives around and redeemed us with his life, his death, his resurrection, and offer of eternal life to anyone who will call upon his name in faith.
And Robert, you had spent 4.5 decades being the shepherd of Bobby,
right,
making it your life's goal to know her better than any person on earth. Not all of a sudden you got to turn around and start from scratch. What was that like?
That's a great question because Nancy's very, very different than Bobby. So I couldn't use the old playbook. I had to start again. Now, the lovely thing is I married a woman of grace and I married a grown-up who doesn't overreact to stuff, doesn't get carried away, is very deliberate, very, very measured. In fact, early on, we were dating, I think, honey, when I said, what do you think our first fight is going to be about? And she got this quizzical look on her face, and I think she said, what do you mean fight? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want for this to be off-putting for couples who do fight, but we don't fight. And I think part of it is our age. When you're young and married and you've got a lot of stuff, you've got a lot of your own stuff to work out. Sometimes that looks like conflict in your marriage and you're working it out in the presence of somebody else. But if at 67, I don't know who I am and Nancy at 57 doesn't know who she is, we're in trouble.
You disagree.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's not crazy that we don't have disagreements,
no, right,
but that we talk about those things, we pray about those things, and we defer to each other and to really want to honor the other, to make allowances,
right,
to try and understand the other. These are things that they're people skills that you develop as you walk with the
right
Lord over a course of years.
That's
that
right
we're applying now in the context of our marriage.
Ron, I want to ask you to comment on what Robert talked about, not being able to use the old mm-hmm playbook and just do with Nancy what he'd done with Bobby. When it's a blended marriage, husbands and wives have to learn we can't just go back into our old patterns because we got new people here.
Right. And here's the thing. You don't even realize it's a pattern until you find yourself in a situation where the other person doesn't respond the way you would maybe predict or assume. And all of a sudden you're feeling something you've never felt before. And this is foreign territory, not necessarily familiar territory. And that's where you begin to unlearn how you shepherded Bobby.
Right.
And what a beautiful thing that was. And then you discover, was the word you used. I picked up on that a little while ago. I discovered about Nancy. And that's the shepherding piece,
yes,
in this marriage. Comment
right
on discovering and what it requires of you as a husband, as a shepherd, to have the openness to discover that.
Well, first I had to want to do that. You know, your actions follow your desires, mm-hmm, your heart. So I wanted to because I pursued her. I wooed her. I wanted to win her heart. And so I was intentional about being careful, being deliberate, being patient, being gentle, all those things. That was my desire. So I did those things. And actually, I see that looking back. That really wasn't the playbook. Hmm. This isn't... We're dealing with somebody with a will of her own. I do talk about the difference between riding a motorcycle and riding a horse. How's this for man talk, right? A motorcycle is predictable. You get on, you twist your wrist, and then you're off. The motorcycle has no will of its own. a horse does. And I know from experience that you can wind up in the ditch if the horse decides he doesn't want to take you where you think you want him to go. So, again, bad illustration, okay? So I admit that.
No, I think it's a great illustration. Yeah. It's communicating
point.
To me.
But that's the difference. That's the difference. And so you have to romance. You have to woo. You have to get that fish on board without breaking the line. My favorite Aesop's fable is the sun and the wind, the argument that they have. The sun and the wind are having an argument to see who's the strongest. They see a man walking with a cloak on. And so the wind goes first because he's sure that he's the stronger. And so he says, I bet I can get that guy to take his coat off. And so he blows and blows and blows harder, harder, harder. And the harder he blows the wind, the tighter the man clings to his coat. So he runs out of air. And then the sun says, now it's my turn. And he warms the man and he takes his coat off. Mm. And that's really the magic, I think, that I would love husbands to pick up in this book. That you woo your wife, you romance her, you warm her, and then she wants to please you. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do it out of obligation. She wants to please you. She wants to be your lover, your wife, your companion, your partner, your friend. We text each other early in the morning, and I love you, my shepherd friend, is what Nancy responds almost every morning. Mm-hmm. To my early texts.
So you're not just talking about a guy listening and saying, okay, I'll buy flowers when I go home tonight and do that. I guess I'm supposed to, you know, show a little romance here. You're talking about a nurturing kind of relationship that involves a whole lot more than just a trip to the grocery store and a few dollars.
Yeah, a lot more. It sure does.
Although a trip to the grocery store every once in a while can really help.
Did you pick up on that, Shepard?
That's right. Well, you know, it's interesting because typically...
He's great at that. Let me just say.
Typically, men conquer, right? And women romance. Women understand that. But Nancy conquers at the grocery store. You should see it. It is amazing. It's amazing. So, but I do that. If it's going to help her, if it's going to save her some time, it's my pleasure. I say that a lot. My pleasure. Chick-fil-A got it right.
Yeah, they did. I want to go back to Ron, though, because I don't think we truly touched on how the blended family dynamic impacts what we're talking about here. What's the best coaching you can give a husband who's in a blended family relationship, which will throw some curveballs at that relationship?
Yeah. And for example, one of the dynamics here is it's not just about you wooing your wife. In many blended family situations, your kids are watching and they're going, wait a minute, you didn't do that with mom. Or it was different with mom. Or dad, you were a different person with, you know. So there's this sense that you can see yourself through the eyes of your kids. And that adds another dynamic to how do I approach my wife, pursue my wife, shepherd my wife, and yet have this awareness that the children are thinking this is odd or strange, or maybe they're even jealous of what you're doing now with wife number two versus the mother of the kids. And so it adds a level of complexity to how this shepherding process takes place. Robert's nailing it in terms of the heart and the willingness of the husband to shepherd, to pursue. It's just being done with a larger crowd of people watching. Mm.
Robert, did you ever have a tinge of guilt as you were wooing and pursuing Nancy? I mean, you'd pledged yourself to be faithful to Bobby and you'd lived that out for 44 years. Now you're pursuing this new woman. Was there ever just this voice in the back of your head going, what are you doing?
There could have been if the following hadn't taken place. 2 months before Bobby stepped into heaven, she told two friends that she wants Robert to marry Nancy Lee DeMoss.
She didn't tell you that.
No, she did not. So 2 months after we were dating, those two friends sent me an email each and said, we think you ought to know something. So I'm probably the exception. I would understand totally how you would sort of second guess your heart, because after almost 45 years of devotion to one person, and then suddenly you're shifting gears without ruining your transmission.
Yeah.
And that would be a huge challenge. For us, that was a tremendous release. It sort of gave me permission. It sort of blessed our relationship. So I didn't feel obligation because Bobby had said that, because I was already falling in love with this woman.
And this was something you and Bobby had talked about a lot in terms of your getting remarried.
Yes.
She knew that she was terminal, and you and she had had this conversation, and she loved you and really wanted what was best for you and gave you that gift of saying,
huge,
I want you to get remarried.
Yeah. And Ron, that's an unusual situation, because in a divorce, you don't get a blessing to go marry somebody else. And
right.
even with the death of a spouse, you don't always get that release that Bobby gave to Robert.
That was a huge gift on Bobby's part. Just an amazing act of grace out of her spirit, for sure. And at the same time, though, you have to relearn. You have to unlearn some of the things of the past and relearn and discover. And the shepherd heart that Robert is talking about is what makes the difference. It's fine that you had permission, right? Okay, I feel like I can turn that corner. But you still have to ride the horse. You still have to discover the territory. You still have to figure out how to work as a team and come together. And what is it about this woman that needs you? And what is your place and your role in leading her?
And I'm just reflecting on all that we've talked about here today. And I just come back to two words in Ephesians chapter 5. The husband is commanded to love his wife. And there's actually an allusion in the passage that I'm about to quote that goes back to how Christ loves the church. And he uses two words. He says, he nourishes and cherishes it. Hmm. Nourish means to cause to grow, to bring the nutrients to the life. Hmm. And a smart shepherd knows how to lead the sheep where the green fields are, not where the danger is. The second word is to cherish, and that means to soften. And this speaks to the heart of what a shepherd needs to be pursuing, where he's causing the heart to grow soft, to receive his leadership, to receive the scriptures, to grow spiritually, I think. And I think it's a challenging assignment. I can tell you, I've been in God's school of being a husband for 45 years, and I'm astounded at how much there is still to learn in the process.
Yeah. Well, and every husband who signs up for the responsibility ought to be signing up to be a lifelong lover, a lifelong learner, a lifelong leader, and to get the kind of coaching he's going to need to pull that off, the kind of coaching that Robert provides in the book, Like the Shepherd, which is a book that we've got in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order the book from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today, to get a copy of Robert's book. And then don't forget, you can get some great coaching and training on how to be both a husband and a wife when the two of you attend one of our upcoming Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways this spring. We're going to be in more than 50 cities across the country this spring, starting next month. And if you sign up today for any of these upcoming getaways, or if you buy a gift card today and send it to someone you know who would benefit from attending one of our getaways, you can save 50% off the regular registration fee. That offer is good this week and next week only. It's the best offer we make all year. So if you'd like to join us for a fun, romantic getaway at one of our Weekend Remember Getaways, now is the best time to take advantage of the offer we're making. You can register online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to register. If you have any questions, give us a call, and make this a priority for your marriage. I mean, your marriage is worth it. It's worth the investment. It's worth the time. Your marriage will benefit from having this time together, just the two of you. Again, find out more at familylifetoday.com, register online, or call to register at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Now, tomorrow we're going to continue our conversation about a husband's responsibility to be a loving shepherd for his wife. Our guests, Robert and Nancy Wolgemuth, will be back with us tomorrow. Hope you can be back as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today.
Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.